25 games left. 3 games ahead of Oakland for the wild card. COVID all over the place. Bats been hit or miss, very streaky.
Yes.
Pitching getting better. Somewhat. Here's my
depending.
Here's my biggest question. E-Rod. E-Rod drives me insane. He's on a contract year.
Mm-hmm.
And now, all of a sudden, it's the last month of the season. He goes out against Tampa Bay, dials it up. He's going to have 5 more starts and then a couple of, or hopefully, some playoff performances and is going to cash in. And it just infuriates me. If he is really good in these next 5 outings, I'm not going to be happy.
Well, this
I'm going to be happy, but I'm not going to be happy.
This is the frustrating thing about the fact that in arbitration, they lowballed him. Like that was the same problem we had with Mookie Betts. We lowballed him in arbitration, and then when it came time for him to get the big bucks, he chose to get them somewhere else. And we may see that again with E-Rod, which is definitely frustrating. He can be very hot and cold. I think a lot of that is that it all comes down to how well that changeup is working. When you rely on one pitch to be there, you're going to have some bad days. But, yeah.
I mean, he looked great against Tampa.
Yeah, his last 2 starts, he's gone longer, and he's been better. All that came after he had that incident with Alex Cora where they were kind of going at it in the dugout because he got pulled in the 5th. I think he wants to go deeper, and he's getting the opportunity, and he's making it worthwhile. But like you said, you know, he got lowballed in arbitration, so he's due for some money this year, and he may not choose to get it here. And if he looks good, people are going to be offering him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of E-Rod, honestly. It just feels like a decade that we've been talking. I know it hasn't actually been. That we've just been like, oh, is this finally where E-Rod's going to turn around his career?
It's definitely every year.
I don't think it's happening.
Do we want to re-sign him?
No, I don't want him to.
It depends on the money, because as your ace, I don't think he'll ever get there. But as like the number 2 or number 3 guy, he's a pretty solid rotation guy usually. So it's all
but he's
going to
want some money.
Yeah, is he going to ask for an ace level contract? Because if that's the case, then no, I don't think
Are there free agents in the MLB pitcher next year that we could go after? Like, I
don't know a whole lot about the pitcher free agent market this year.
Or trade. But they do. It would be tough to let him ride because they need pitching desperately.
Yes, that is the big hole. You definitely don't want to let him walk if you can get him for a reasonable amount of money.
You know, I mean, it's tough because it's kind of like, you know, it reminds me of John Lester. You know, from a few years back and in that situation, it's hard because, you know, if again, he's lights out here and helps you get into the playoffs, maybe you catch the Yankees and you're hosting the playoff, you know, the wild card game, because that's still, I think, is realistic.
Yes.
You know, from that standpoint. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, the other thing is the guy who went to the bullpen. Roberts.
Richards.
Yeah.
Garrett Richards.
Has been unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yes. He seems more suited for that long reliever
spot. It's like Joe Kelly, the year they won the World Series when he came in and was tremendous.
He came in from the bullpen. The 7th this last week, was it Thursday they came in?
And came in and
ended up closing the game, I think.
Threw like 3 innings and was just phenomenal.
I was amazed they kept him out there. But
yeah.
But again, when he... It's same type of thing. Even like with the guy starting today, Hawk.
Yep.
With Richards, you know, you get through the lineup once and you're all right. And you know, so you get, you know, 10, 11 batters, you're good. Hawk, you get through 2 times in the rotation, you're okay. You start to get into that 3rd time and it gets a little the water gets a little rougher, and the same thing with Richards.
Yeah, and what I've heard about Richards is he figured out something with a slider that makes it more effective. Also, when you're a guy who relies on having stuff as opposed to having location, you can only do that for so long before you start walking guys because they get patient. So right. I think he fits much better in that middle reliever spot, which, thank goodness, because a long reliever is exactly what the Sox have needed lately with all the COVID. They have no one in the bullpen. So to have a guy who can come out and do 2 or 3 innings instead of 3 outs and he's gone... That's huge for them.
So with all the COVID stuff, like what is, like how does the roster even function now? Like, how long till guys come off? How long till guys come on? Will there be an opportunity for the roster to get intact and gel to play for 9-10 games if to make a push to try to get ready for the playoffs if they're successful?
I think some of the guys from the first round are supposed to come back late this week, Kike and Christian Arroyo, so that's huge. Although, I do have to say, I've been very impressed by what Jonathan Arruz has done at shortstop, despite the fact that he's really more of a triple-A ball player at this point in his career. He's come up and he's worked some good at-bats, got a couple of good hits. But obviously, bringing back Kike and Christian Arroyo basically means you can have a full infield of guys who would normally be starter caliber players for you. Well, and that's huge.
And you wonder now, like, with the bench being shorter like this, are guys more relaxed when they're playing because they're not looking over their shoulder to, oh my God, I got to perform, because there's so much versatility from that standpoint?
Yeah, exactly. So we actually got a call from Tim in Colchester.
All right, Tim. Thank you.
Is it Bernie? Am I on the air?
Hey, Tim, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, I'm listening to you talk a little Red Sox, a little shop or whatever, and I'm glad that you touched on a little bit of Chris Sale stuff. But, you know, it was funny when we got to the trade deadline and everybody was saying Red Sox didn't do anything because Schwarber was hurt and everything. But it was pretty evident as we're three starts into, you know, Chris Sale's 2021 season that we did do quite a lot at the deadline. You know, you talk Schwarber's been the best hitter. Sale's been what? He's 3-0 and ERA hovering around 2.5. Like, I think that we're, even with COVID, we're in a good spot. I don't know. Just wanted to hear what you think about that.
Well, thank you for calling, Tim. Sounds like you're having a fun day. What you got going on today?
Oh, chasing a kid around, doing a playroom, all kinds of stuff, but making sure I'm listening to you while I'm doing it.
I appreciate the call. We'll get on that. You know, Chris Sale, I think, you know, 3-0, like you said, pitched very well against Tampa Bay, and it was a no decision.
That was the big question mark, right? Because his first two games were kind of cupcake teams.
All three. He kind of climbed the wall. He got the Orioles. He had Minnesota, and then he had Cleveland.
Yep.
And then he had Tampa Bay.
Yeah, so that was the big question mark, was can he keep that ability up against Tampa, which obviously he's been back long enough in terms of throwing bullpen sessions and stuff that you should be expecting him to be kind of himself. Maybe not, you know, the Chris Sale of that 2018, you know, championship run, but Chris Sale is Chris Sale. And we're seeing that now, that he may not ever be the Chris Sale of old, but right, he's still that guy.
And it made you feel a lot better about if the Sox end up in a one game playoff against the Yankees.
So here's my question. Like, right now, when Chris Sale is going out to pitch, I have the belief Red Sox are winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, when does Sale pitch? Because we're winning that game.
Right. Well, that's the thing about a guy who can hold a team to, you know, one or two runs, is you don't, or less even, is you don't have to worry about, can our offense produce six runs in this game to get by? And you don't have to worry about the bullpen having to pitch five or six innings because your starter has to get pulled early. And those two elements have been the biggest killers for the Red Sox this year.
But now, you know, again, the season started so well because the pitching was so good.
Mm-hmm.
It had its rough patch, and now it's getting better. Sale's getting better. Erod's getting better. Eovaldi has been good.
Yep.
Hawk has been all right. You know, so the pitching staff has been solid. The bullpen is getting better. I think, and this is silly, I think the rest mentally and physically from Matt Barnes right now is huge, because I think he'll come back the Matt Barnes of old.
Yes, and even if he doesn't, I mean, we have a rookie of the year candidate in Garrett Whitlock, who could always close
But he's been bad.
No, he's been good. He was great last night.
Last night, but leading up to that, the last like five outings, he has been rocky.
But overall, the whole
overall year, he's been very good. And anytime he came in, I was like, lights out. But then he had his stretch that was not good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of the pitchers on the team did for a while there. Like, for example.
Right, and that's why we struggled.
Yeah. Pivetta is the question mark for me now in the starting rotation, because if you're going to play a seven-game series in the playoffs, assuming you get by the wild card game, because if it's a one-game.
But you're only going, three, maybe four starters.
Right.
And Pivetta's not going
to
be one.
Well, I don't know if you want Hauk having to try and go deep in a playoff game. Like you said, once he gets the third time around.
I feel better about Hauk than Pivetta.
Yes, he would be the fourth starter. I mean, it's going to be Sale, Erod, and Eovaldi.
Isn't the first series only five? Is that how this still works?
I mean, again, you're going to have to face Gerrit Cole in the first game.
Well, no, in the first game, but if they beat the Yankees and go on to an actual series.
This is a hypothetical, because obviously if Sale's on any kind of rest in a one-game playoff, he's going to be the guy. But if you get to a series, I don't know. I don't know about. I guess if you line up Hauk so that you can bring in Richards after him, so he doesn't have to go six or seven, that's the big thing. Because the first two times through the lineup, he is lights out. Third time through, he starts getting shelled.
Right. But again, that's where you hope he can go four, and then you bring in
Richards.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, you know, it's good to be excited. There's 25 games left. You don't want to get overexcited because the floor could fall out.
Yeah.
The floor could fall out tomorrow.
And they still got some hard series left.
You're right. I mean, you look at the schedule. The next, I think, what is it? Two with Cleveland, three with Tampa.
Yeah.
Three with Chicago, and then three with Seattle.
Yeah.
Is that right? So really the next 11 games, then you'll have 14 games left. And in those last 14, 11 are very winnable games with the exception of three against the Yankees.
Yeah.
It is surprising how this kind of feels like the end of that really big slump, even though on paper it looks like things are getting worse. With all the COVID stuff, the last few games, you're seeing it. You're seeing some of these guys who are still in lineup whose bats had been cold starting to come back. We got Brazier back last night, and he wasn't great, but he definitely didn't look like the 2019 Brazier who really struggled. Verdugo is getting hot again. Schwarber is getting really hot. Renfroe is starting to get it back together. I think all that stuff. And then this week, you get Kike back, who has been the on-base god for this team, basically. It looks promising.
I mean, but now you hope that the COVID stuff stops because it's been bad. I mean, this stretch has been do they have 11 guys on the list?
I think it's double digits at this point.
So I mean, because Duran just went on it.
Yep, he's the latest. And before him was Yaro Muñez,
right?
And then some coaches, and then obviously Kike
and I know the coaches are. Important, obviously, but
it's more just who they could have gotten sick.
Yeah, so it's crazy how we are now 15 months, however many months later, a year, whatever, and we're still working our way through all of this.
Yeah, but I think it does give me a little hope that we're having to pinch hit Travis Shaw and start Danny Santana in center field. And we're winning games with Jonathan Arruz at shortstop and a Jack Lopez at second, a guy against, who's never played in the majors
against decent teams too.
Yeah, right?
and that's why you know it's like okay, you great win last night. Now you got to just win one out of two. You just have to either I'm assuming there's no more four game series left, correct?
I don't think so. No.
So now it's just you have to win every three game series. And if there's a two-game series or whatever, you got to split it.
There's one two-game series against the Mets. That's the only weird one.
Right. So it's just you have to split this weekend. And if you do that, you're going to get to 90 wins, and you're going to be in the playoff.
Yeah.
And that's you got to have your ticket punched to get to the playoffs. And, you know, it's like it's funny because I got a buddy who is a big Yankee fan. And, you know, we were talking about how the over-under was 80. And I think the Red Sox have 78 wins now. Is that correct?
Oh, I can cruise over real quick.
I believe that is
correct. Yes, 78, 59.
And he was, you know, the other day he was like, oh, they even going to make that 80 over under? And I'm like, you're a knucklehead. Don't give me that garbage. Yes, they're gonna get through that.
Tied with the Yankees for wins, just a few losses behind.
It's the three games, and they're all in the loss column.
Yeah.
So,
obviously.
Sorry.
The big one right now is Xander being out. That's the thing they got to get under control, because if something like this near playoff time happens with Devers or with a Schwarber or a J.D. Martinez or a Renfro.
But every team can say that about their top players. I understand what you're saying, but it's just it's got to get contained. You're right.
Yeah, because this is – you cannot have that much of a question mark in your lineup come playoff time. That's when it will really kill you.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking over at the Athletic schedule real quick. Way harder than the Red Sox for the rest of the season.
Toronto? That's the one.
Yeah, Toronto right now. And then they play the White Sox after that. They get a couple easy ones in between, but they still have to play two series against the Mariners and two series against the Astros.
Right, so that's where, like, do the Blue Jays have the type of schedule to where it's going to be?
Do they catch up? Yeah. Like I said, they're the ones who really scare me. I think, like we were just saying, Oakland's got a tough schedule. So I don't think Seattle's as good as they've looked recently. I think Toronto is the team that really scares me in terms of a late push for that young, talented lineup.
But, you know, hey, the Red Sox have done their job. They've kept us interested all the way up to football season, and now they're going to keep us interested in and a little more to give us some more stuff to look at.